Welcome to the Roto-World Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Joey Alfieri, and joining me like he does for every show is the senior writer and editor of Roto-World Hockey, Michael Finewax. Michael, how's it going?
Everything's great. You know, we're in the conference finals. Everyone's playing well. They got four real good hockey teams. What more could you ask for?
Yeah, no, I mean, the hockey's been, it's been relatively entertaining, especially for the conference finals. I just like that we're at a point in professional sports, because I think it's in all sports, Michael, but especially in hockey, where offense finally seems to be winning.
Yeah, it's nice. It's really nice. You know, the 1-0 games, you know, are great if it goes into overtime and it's exciting. But anytime a game goes into overtime, it's exciting. So offense always is better than just defense, especially in hockey.
Yeah, it's way more fun when you have teams, you know, teams that can play. It's not even run and gun because they're still responsible. But, you know, the Golden Knights are deep up front. The Jets are probably the team with the most depth up front. And then you have Tampa and Washington. I mean, we know that they have big name guys that can put the puck in the net and create offense. So from that perspective, it's been kind of fun. I mean, here we are. At the beginning, I know we predicted the Vegas Golden Knights wouldn't be too good. And, I mean, I think most people were in the same boat as we were. Probably them, too. I heard Marc-Andre Fleury answer that question after the game, where somebody asked him, you know, if I would have told you that you'd be two wins away from the Stanley Cup Finals back when the season started, what would you have said? And he said he probably would have laughed a little bit. I would have laughed a lot, but here we are. Three games in the books. They're two games away from going to the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. It's you know, like I said, you know, George McPhee shouldn't just be GM of the year. He should be GM of the century in all sports for what he's done with an expansion team. And, you know, everyone got to protect 10, 11 players, and he's theoretically taking the 11th or 12th best player on every team. Well, what he's done is a miracle.
I mean, I think it goes to show that George McPhee was very proactive in the way he approached the expansion draft. But I think it's also fairly obvious that there's a lot of these GMs that just looks, I mean, I don't want to say that they didn't know what they were doing, but because there's some guys, I mean, that came out of left field. You know what I mean? Like William Karlsson, to me, that came out of left field. But Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault, those guys have been productive NHLers in the past. For whatever reason, it wasn't working anymore for Smith in Florida. They wanted to rid themselves of the $5 million a year salary. But, I mean, Marchessault scored 30 last year. You got to find a way to protect him, especially when you're protecting guys like Alex Petrovic. You know what I mean? Like, when you're protecting guys like that, guys that are a dime a dozen, you know, last time I checked out there, and it's 2018, and 30 goal scorers don't exactly grow on trees. So I don't really know what Dale Talon was thinking.
Yeah, you know, and especially with Marchessault only making $750,000.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't, you know, they have their own plans, and this is the plan we have for the hockey team. This is what we see. And they couldn't see Riley Smith coming back, or they couldn't see they saw his salary as being a detriment to the team rather than being his play being an asset. You know, they had to give up Marchessault. It doesn't make sense what Florida gave up, and they didn't even make the playoffs. I mean, you know,
yeah, just short.
You can go through. I think a lot of teams, when Seattle comes into the league for expansion, and you know we're projecting that they will here. I think a lot of teams, instead of making a deal with Seattle for you don't take this guy, they'll give up the guy if they have more than one asset that they want that they're worried about. They'll make a trade with another team, especially if it's a goaltender, because you'll only be able to keep one goaltender. So if it's the same situation as Pittsburgh, where they had Matt Murray and Marc-Andre Fleury, you'll see Pittsburgh making a deal for Fleury, maybe with a team like Calgary who needed a goaltending, and getting some assets back rather than just giving Fleury away for nothing and right. watching him go to possibly the Stanley Cup final, whereas Pittsburgh got knocked out in the second round.
Yeah, I mean, I get your point. With Fleury, it's a little different. There was a no move, so it's different. But I definitely agree what you're saying. There's a lot of teams that, you know, they gave up quite a bit. You know, like Minnesota, I believe they gave up Alex Tuck and a first just so that, and that's like, that's just so, so that Golden Knights wouldn't take Scandella or Dumba or Brodin or one of those guys. I mean, the Golden Knights took Eric Halla, who had a terrific year.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So, like, just, I mean, I think it cost Cliff Fletcher his job, honestly. Chuck Fletcher,
Yeah. And, you know, it's going to be different, too. Like, teams like the Maple Leafs protected all their guys. Plus, you weren't allowed to take a first or second year player. So guys like Austin Matthews didn't have to be protected. Guys like Nylander didn't have to be protected. Marner didn't have to be protected. You know, that makes a huge, huge difference. You know, they ended up taking Brandon Leipzig, who was the best of the rest. You know, it's like circumstance is a big, big factor. And, you know, if they're smart, Seattle, whoever the GM may be, you know, I'd take a page out of George McPhee's book. And, I mean, McPhee has nothing even to worry about because Vegas can't lose a player in the draft.
Right. So, but I think the one thing where Seattle will be at a disadvantage, and I mean, look, GMs are always going to make mistakes. It's part of the business. But I think a lot of teams are going to learn, like, and they're going to do, probably going to do exactly what you're saying now, because, you know, Vegas was the first go around with these expansion rules. The expansion rules are not going to change very much, if at all, when Seattle comes around. So I think that's the benefit. I mean, the detriment to being Seattle is that, yeah, sure, you're getting a new NHL team, but first of all, you're paying more money to get in. And second of all, these teams have all recently had a go around with the expansion draft. So we're, you know, X amount of teams may have screwed up this time around with Vegas. I can guarantee you that there's, you know, they're going to take a harder look at themselves when it comes to Seattle coming around, because I mean, this the way that this all shook out, I mean, this thing cost some general managers their jobs, some coaches their jobs. I mean, it really worked in Vegas's favor, and that's a credit to them because they did it well.
You know,
and,
Joey, they're going to have trouble up front, but when it comes to defense and goaltending, they'll be strong. Because, again, I'm talking theoretically, you're going to get a lot of half-decent goaltenders because you're only allowed to protect one, and you're only allowed to protect three defensemen. And if you protect four, you lose a forward. So on some teams, on a lot of teams, they're going to get a number four defenseman, and that's going to give them strength right away in net and on the blue line. And teams, you know, they'll find their way with some forwards just like Vegas did, but you know, Seattle will, I don't know who their players are going to be. Chances are they're not going to do very well, but they will be competitive just because they're going to have a strong defense and a half-decent goaltending.
Yeah. Well, and again, look, we talked about it before, but I think the most obvious example was what went down with Florida and Vegas. And, you know, credit to Jonathan Marchessault, Michael, because after game one, he had a couple of assists in the loss to the Jets, but he had only one shot on goal. And there was a couple of those guys, like James Neal and David Perron, was now out. There was a couple of guys who had one or no shots on goal. And, you know, Marchessault came out. He was the one who was most vocal, said, listen, like, we have to step it up, and I have to step it up. And he's come out. And I know he got an empty netter in game three, but he has back-to-back two-goal games for Vegas. And here they are up 2-1, and they're giving a really, 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 really good Winnipeg team all they can handle. And, you know, Winnipeg can say whatever they want about lucky bounces and Fleury making the saves, and that's all true. But, you know, I think at a certain point, we've got to take luck out of it when you've seen what the Golden Knights have done all year. But credit to them. They lost the first one. They won the second one in Winnipeg, and they win the first one at home. And, I mean, you know, winning in Vegas is not going to be easy. They can very easily be going up 3-1 here going back to Winnipeg.
Yeah. You know, I mean, a telltale sign was the first 35 seconds of the game.
Yeah.
Where Scheifele didn't get the puck in deep. Braden McNabb just picked the puck up, wheeled, threw it up the, you know, the ice. Marchessault outskated everybody, deked the hell back, and it was 1-0 35 seconds into the game, and the crowd's going wild.
Yeah. And then the best part is, I mean, Scheifele ties the game early in the second. And then here, enjoy your 12 seconds tied, because James Neal scores, you know, a dozen seconds later, and they never look back.
All right.
And I mean, it's just, it's this team, like, you know, they just keep taking punch after punch at a certain point, and they just, you know, they keep getting back up from it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? To be fair, Winnipeg outplayed them in the third period, and they outplayed them. as soon as Paul Maurice took that timeout after it was 3-1, and he said something to him, because they came out and they, you know, they scored quickly in the third and they made a game of it. And, you know, Fleury played great. They got the empty netter to make it 4-2. But they were on their heels a bit in the third. I mean, Winnipeg put 32 shots on goal in the last two periods. They only had three in the first.
I mean, they had 16 in the third.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So they really came alive. And, you know, nothing will surprise me. I mean, I'll tell you one thing. I'm hoping for a Winnipeg win in game four because I'm going to Vegas and game six. I'm going to be there for game six, and I want a 2-2 after four, so I'm guaranteed a game.
Yeah.
And that'll be fun.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned Fleury in that third period. I mean, I thought it was inevitable with the way Winnipeg was playing. I thought the tying goal was coming. Honestly, just, you know, having followed Winnipeg for obviously the regular season, and then seeing them even more up close, like seeing them on a, you know, almost daily basis in the playoffs, I thought the goal was coming. I thought they were going to tie it, and they nearly did. Shifley had a couple of chances just past the midway point of the third period, but Marc-Andre Fleury, I mean, just two phenomenal saves. And he kept his team ahead. They end up getting the empty netter, like you said, and they end up escaping game three with a win. But again, like, I knew Fleury was a starting goaltender, Michael. Mm-hmm. I did not think he had this in him, because he hadn't played this well in Pittsburgh, as well as he's playing now, in a really long time, maybe ever. Like, there was times where he was great in Pittsburgh, don't get me wrong. But the last time, like, Marc-Andre Fleury was dominant in Pittsburgh, I mean, it's been quite some time.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because he was under the gun a lot in Pittsburgh. And he came to Vegas in a situation where, again, like we said, nobody expected anything.
You know, right.
Vegas did not play. Everyone thought Vegas would be the worst team, the second worst team, the third worst team. They'd be nearer at the bottom of the standings. He played exceptionally well, got hurt with a concussion. Vegas played so well when he was out. And then he comes back and he's full of confidence. The team's full of confidence. And like everything just seemed to click. It was amazing. And, you know, he deserves a lot of votes for the Vezina Trophy. You know, the playoffs don't count. And if they did, I'm sure more people would be voting for him. But,
well, if they win, Michael, he's a Conn Smythe, right?
Oh, you would think so. Unless guys like Marchessault has an amazing Stanley Cup final. Right. But you would think so.
Yeah, I hear you. And look, Michael, credit to Fleury, because, you know, he's not a young guy. Like we mentioned before, and we've mentioned in previous shows, he had a no-move clause. So if he wanted to stick it to Pittsburgh, say, listen, I earned this no-movement clause, I'm not going anywhere. You know, I mean, he could still be in Pittsburgh. But, you know, he decided at 32 years old that he was going to take on this new challenge. And it's worked out perfectly.
I know. It's unbelievable.
You're listening to the Roto World Hockey Podcast. Joey Alfieri and Michael Feinwax. You can find me on Twitter at Joey Alfieri. Michael's at MFineWaxHockey. And the Roto World Hockey main page is at RotoWorld_HK. If you love fantasy baseball, then you need to try my new favorite app, Draft. It's daily fantasy baseball, but not like the other guys. On Draft, you play live snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long league. Drafts last for just one night, and once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. You just set it, you forget it, and you just enjoy the baseball. And the best part, play for cold, hard cash and get paid out the next day. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. And I love this because it's quick. It's like I said, you draft your team in the moment. You can pick $1 buy-in, a $5 buy-in, a $20 buy-in, and it's quick. You don't have to make all these lineup changes. You don't have to look on waivers. It's fast. It's done very quickly. And the beautiful thing, Michael, your favorite part, it's for cold, hard cash. So join me on Draft today. Just search Draft in your app store or play right from your computer on draft.com. And for a limited time only, all Roto World Hockey Podcast listeners get a free entry into a real money baseball draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code RW. That's right. Play a real money game free just for using my promo code RW when you make your first deposit. Search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and enter the promo code RW. All right, Michael, moving on to the East. Anything kind of surprise you so far with Washington and Tampa Bay?
I like what John Cooper did in switching up the line for Game 3 and giving Tampa Bay a new look and giving Washington a new look at what Tampa Bay's capable of. You know, I'm surprised that the road teams won all three games. And, you know, it's been a very good series. You know, it's – yeah, I've been surprised.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I don't think this is going to shock you, but I was surprised that Washington was able to go into Tampa Bay and take the first two there. I was not surprised that Tampa Bay cut it to 2-1 at all. I would have been more stunned if they went into game four, you know, with the possibility of being swept. But I think the key matchup for me is going to be the Tampa power play, which has scored at least one goal in all three games, and the Washington penalty kill. Because we saw it in game three. You give Steven Stamkos time, he's going to use that one-timer, and he's going to smoke the puck into the net. And then if you overplay Stamkos, well, guess what? Kucherov's on the other side, and he can beat you with the one-timer as well. So I think the power play out in Tampa is 5-for-12 in the series, and either Washington stays out of the box or this penalty kill improves. But the thing is, it's just you don't know where to attack or, you know, how to defend this Tampa Bay power play just because there's so many different weapons and there's so many guys that can beat you in a split second. The puck moves so quickly that it's tough. It's really tough to defend. So I think you're better off. I saw where Barry Trotz said, you know, we just can't take these unnecessary penalties. And I think he's absolutely right, because if he does, if they do it in game four, I think they're toast. I think they're going to go back to Tampa Bay tied 2-2.
Well, you know, you got to feel real good for a guy like Hedman, who quarterbacks the power play, and he's just sitting there and like, who am I passing it to for the one timer? You know, they're overplaying Stamkos. Okay, it's Kucherov. They're overplaying Kucherov. Okay, let me find Stamkos. That's a pretty nice situation to be in. You know, Washington has been killing penalties at a great rate before they played Tampa Bay. I think they had 24 straight without giving up a goal. I think Washington's capable. I think they've just got to rejig and, you know, change things up a little bit. And again, you know, if they stay out of the penalty box, they don't have to worry about it.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I think that's going to be the key. I mean, you know as well as I do that the referees, I'm not going to say they put the whistles away, but, you know, what's a penalty in October is not necessarily a penalty in May. But, you know, I think the Capitals have taken 3, 4, and 5 penalties in each of the three games here. At a certain point, I mean, you're going to have to be careful because it is they're so dynamic and so dangerous. And I know everybody was down on Tampa. Would they go down 2-0 in the series? But, again, this was one of those teams that was the best team in the Eastern Conference. And, yeah, sure, I mean, they allowed Boston to catch up. But I think they took their foot off the gas a little bit. And, it almost bit them. But here they are. I mean, it's 2-1. I mean, how confident are you that they bounce back?
I think a big factor tonight or on Thursday night is going to be whether Nicholas Backstrom plays or not. If Backstrom's in the lineup, I think they move him to the third line and keep Eller where he is because that line's been playing very well. And I think it gives Washington a new look for Tampa, and Tampa's got to adjust. Now, if he doesn't, and I think him being in the lineup will give them a big boost. I know he practiced, and for the first time, he didn't stay after practice to play with the extras. And although at this time he hasn't received medical clearance, I think he's, you know, I'd be very surprised if he didn't play because he's practicing so much. And, you know, I'm sure they'll let him play tonight or on Thursday night. Yeah. As far as it's a big game. I think tonight's game's going into overtime. I really do, and I wouldn't be surprised if it went into double overtime. It's going to be a very tight game, and whoever wins this one has got a heck of a lot of momentum going into game five.
Do you believe in game-to-game momentum in the playoffs?
Yep, I do. It's you can switch it up pretty quick.
Yeah,
you score 35 seconds in, and that really changes things. But yeah. I think a team goes in a little more confident after winning, and I think the team goes in on their heels a little bit after losing.
I mean, obviously, we don't know what the situation with Backstrom is. I'd like to believe if he's missing games in the Eastern Conference Final, he's pretty banged up.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's the correct – I mean, if he's assuming he's healthy enough to play in game four, how do you feel about the approach? You know, like they're up 2-0 in the series. Do you think they can afford to be, you know, patient in that type of scenario? Or, you know, or is it just maybe a question of trying to get him back as soon as possible? But the 2-0 lead, I think that played a factor in him being held out in game three.
Well, sure it does. But, you know, if they lose again at home – They head back 2-2. That's going to be difficult. I think he's going to give, you know, you see him on the ice. The crowd goes wild because Backstrom's back in the lineup. I think it gives the team a boost. And, I mean, if you were talking about momentum, I think that's a huge, huge thing. And I think he'll, you know, he's a stud. He didn't have a great Nicholas Backstrom season this year. He was very inconsistent. Got off to a real hard start, but there was weeks where he went with 1 point or no points or 2 points. You know, he had a very inconsistent season for Nicholas Backstrom and then got hot again at the end of the season. But, I think he's going to make a big difference. And I think whatever happens with Nicholas, but I think if Backstrom plays, I like Washington's chances tonight.
Fair enough. So I think, what did you have, Tampa or Winnipeg in the series?
I had Tampa and Winnipeg. Me. I had Tampa and Winnipeg.
Yeah, Tampa, Winnipeg. I had Washington, Winnipeg. I know you're not going to change your predictions, but if you could, would you, with what you've seen so far?
Not with Tampa. You know, Vegas has really impressed me.
Yeah.
And I thought the series was going 7 anyway. The Winnipeg series. And, you know, I think it's a big game three, a big game four. If they go up 3-1, it's – I mean, Winnipeg's capable. Winnipeg's capable of coming back from 3-1. But Winnipeg's played very, very well on the road, and to lose 2 on the road, it might that might hamper them. And, you know, you know, like I think the most amazing stat this season from an individual is Mark Scheifele, who has 14 goals, 11 of them have been on the road.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, like that's just unbelievable to me.
Yeah, no, he's definitely shouldered the load. I mean, Patrick Laine was by Patrick Laine standards, he's been pretty quiet.
Yeah.
And Blake Wheeler has 3 goals, has 17 assists. But, you know, Blake Wheeler hasn't necessarily found the back of the net. But that Wheeler-Scheifele connection, I mean, it's – I don't want to say it's carried Winnipeg, but it's carried Winnipeg.
Well, yeah, and don't forget about Kyle Connor either. He made a gorgeous pass yesterday to make it 3-2 and found Scheifele right in front of the net. You know, he's a real good hockey player. I remember when Scheifele got drafted and he was picked 7th overall by Winnipeg, and everyone thought – or so many people thought it was a reach. And, you know, like Boston was loving it because Dougie Hamilton fell to them. But Scheifele's come out of that draft or has played as he's been a top 3 player and not just 7th or 13th, 14th where he was it was thought he would go. Mark Scheifele's a heck of a hockey player. And as he goes, so do the Jets. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if Winnipeg won and Scheifele had a big game on Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. No qualms about that. All right, so the GM of the Year candidates came out. I mean, not really a ton of surprises. You might as well call it the George McPhee Award, but it was McPhee in Vegas, Lightning GM Steve Yzerman, and Jets GM Kevin Cheveldayoff. Those are the 3 nominees. Obviously, George McPhee's going to win. But is there anybody – I mean, did any of those surprise you at all?
No, I mean, 3 of the 4 teams make it into the semis.
Yeah.
You know, you got to feel bad for McLellan, who didn't – who's the only one who's been left out. But I guess you can say McPhee is part of that too because he used to be the GM in Washington, so he's had a say in it. So every team's been represented. But, yeah.
Yeah. if you, pretty much.
Yeah, if you don't vote for it, if McPhee doesn't win it unanimously, like there's something seriously wrong with one of the voters.
Because, I mean, Jack Adams, too. I think Gerard Gallant's going to win that. Yeah. And Gallant's, you know, I mean, there's other guys that have done a tremendous job, both GMs and coaches, but.
Yeah. This is history. Like, you know, they're saying that Vegas is the first team to win, is the third team to win two series.
Yeah.
Really, they're the first because the other two, somebody had to do it. In 1917, when somebody had to win the cup, so they had to win two series. You know, first right. in the league. In 1967-68,
you know, Blues, yeah.
It was the expansion, and all six teams who were expanded played in the other league, in the other division. So somebody had to win two series. This is the first time, in my opinion, you know, semantics aside. This is way more important than what the other teams have done because someone had to do it. Vegas didn't have to do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just because, again, I know we talked about this, but you have teams with general managers that have been in place for quite some time, you know, that have had an opportunity years to build their organization through multiple drafts. And here's Vegas, I mean, with one expansion draft and one NHL entry draft, which I don't think they've received anything, you know, anything they'd help from. They haven't. So, I mean, they've really done this by trade, by expansion draft, and that's pretty much it. So, I hope this thing goes at least six. I'd like to talk to you about what it's like in Vegas. Very curious to get your scouting report, what you ate out at the arena and all that stuff. So I hope it goes six. I hope you get your wish.
Me too.
All right, Michael, it's been fun. Enjoy the trip to Vegas, and I guess we'll be speaking to you from beautiful Las Vegas next week.
Yeah, one shout out.
Yes.
Cousin Paul Wernick, who co-wrote Deadpool 2, which is out in theaters on Friday.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
the original Deadpool as well with his writing partner Rhett Reese. So like a big shout out because it was such a huge hit, and I'm sure this one's going to be just as big if not bigger.
I thought you were the most famous person in your family.
I'm not.
That's crazy.
I'm the most famous hockey person maybe.
There you go. All right, Michael, have a safe trip to Vegas, and we'll talk from Vegas. Sources tell me that there is a chance that you will be doing the show shirtless poolside. Is there any? Can you confirm or deny?
I'll deny. I won't be out at the pool. And I certainly won't be shirtless.
Perfect. It makes my life a whole lot easier. Thanks, Michael.
Take care. Have a great one.
This has been the Roto-World Hockey Podcast. Joey Alfieri and Michael Finewax. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Joey Alfieri. Michael's at MFinewaxHockey. And you can follow the Roto-World Hockey page at Roto-World_HK. Don't forget to leave us a rating and a comment. On iTunes, you can also find us on art19.com and Stitcher. And again, for all the big and small hockey news and notes in and around the NHL, just go to rotoworld.com, click on the NHL tab, and we've got you covered wall to wall. Enjoy the rest of the conference finals, everybody. We'll talk next week. We might have a Stanley Cup final set up. It could happen.